Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that whenever we open your word, we know that there is the opportunity where you can speak to us. For your word is from you. It is something to reveal about yourself and reveal about us to our condition before you. So may you, Lord, help us today and in as we go through this parable in Matthew 13. May you help us. We pray in your precious name. Amen. I have been looking at the parable of Jesus with you all, and I think by now you know some of the opening lines that I'll be saying. So maybe I can test you. Okay, parable is something to something. What is that? Fill in the blanks. Parable is something using something physical, or to illustrate something spiritual. Okay, using something that we can see to describe or illustrate something that we cannot see. So this is what parable is. And Jesus chose to use parable because he came to a stage of his ministry that a lot of people are against him. The scribes and the Pharisees, they are jealous of him, and they become very hostile to him. So Jesus began to teach in parables. He also used parables too to teach his disciples. You know, the 8 parables in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and he speak the first 4 parables to the crowd of people who surrounded him, but later on he went to the room, to the house, and spoke the next 4 parables with his disciples. Some of the parables he explained, some of the parables he did not explain. Why didn't the Lord Jesus explain all the parables so that we can be free from wondering whether this means this or that means that? But it is his intention to leave some parable unexplained so that we can search out the meaning ourselves. And it is very important for us to think and talk about it and meditate on it and pray about it if you're not sure what the meaning of the parable is, so that you can actually gain something from it, so that you can know how to respond to it. When the Lord Jesus is speaking to the crowd, sometimes he hides the truth from them, because if their heart is not wanting to know the truth or know God, then the Lord Jesus used the parables to hide the truth from them. But if their heart is seeking God, then the truth will eventually be revealed to those hearers. This morning, I'm going to look at the servant's parable, which is the parable of the dragnet. And it is a very important parable that relates to the Last Judgment. Let's look at it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to verse 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we're going to look at the detail of this parable. We're going to go through them line by line, and hopefully by the end of it, we'll understand it. It's helpful that the Lord Jesus at least explained part of this parable. In fact, the main parts of the parable was explained by the Lord. But still, we need to go through it and see how it may relate to our current situation, our life. Okay, let's look at the first one. The kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet that was cast into the sea. See, for most of Jesus' ministry, early ministry, he sort of basically revolved around the area by the Lake of Galilee. This is quite easy to understand because people like to live near to the water because the water is a very rich source of protein. And a lot of people also involved in the industry that relate to fishing. Remember the Lord Jesus, the first four disciples that he called, Peter, Andrew, James and John, all four of them are fishermen. They're all being called by the Lord Jesus. Jesus asked him to follow him. And then Jesus said to them, I'll make you fishers of men. So Andrew and Peter left their nets, and James and John left the boat and their father too. They all called by the Lord, and they just left what they were occupied with, and they went to follow the Lord. Now, if the fish represent men, because Jesus said, I'll make you fisher of men, what does the sea represent? There was another parable that was quite similar, the parable of the wheat and the tares that we spoke before. We know that the field represent the world. So here, the sea also represent the world. I think it's quite apt reference to the world, the sea. Because the sea is full of turbulence. The sea is full of changes. The sea is very unpredictable. And sometimes even experienced fishermen like Peter and James and John and Andrew, they were frightened by it. The sea is a very apt description of the world we're in today. Because things could suddenly happen that we are so unprepared for. Tragedy can strike. And many of us who have lived for a while will know that it can be hard sometimes. We'll spare a thought for the six families who lost loved ones yesterday's tragedy at Bondi. We pray for them and we pray that God will comfort them. The world is unpredictable. And we are in the world. And we're in a world that is crooked and perverse according to Jesus' descriptions. Now, this parable talk about dragnet, fishing using a dragnet. Now, a dragnet, of course, is certainly not the line fishing. And the line fishing, Joseph will know all about it, is you catch fish one at a time, alright? You throw a line into the water and you hope that the bait will be attracting some fish and then you'll bite and then you pull it out. The dragnet is a large scale fishing. So basically it's a very large and very expensive net. They will have weights in the bottom of the net and floaters on the top of the net. So the net will basically be into the water, dragged by the net, by the weight of the net on the bottom and then float at the top. So there's a large surface. So the fishermen usually set it up during the day and then as the water flows, you catch certain fish got caught by the net. And these nets will later on will be dragged in. And when they drag in, it will catch all sorts of fisheries in its path. So that's what dragnet is. There is a Chinese idiom called 天网恢恢疏而不漏. Some of you understand what that means. The literal translation is that the net of heaven is wide and sparse, yet nothing slips through. It's basically talking about the justice of the heaven that no evildoers will be escaped from it. Now, the dragnet that the Lord Jesus talked about has a bit more positive impact to it because he talked about the dragnet not only catching all the wicked people, but you also catch all the good people. And how would they be good? We'll talk about it afterwards. So the dragnets will gather fish of every kind. fish of every kind. Now, the disciples are called fishers of men. They are to go and spread the gospel to the people so that they can hear the word of God and will come into the kingdom of God. In a sense, they catch people by using the word of God, the gospel. Now, the preaching of the gospel is like casting this big dragnet into the sea, into the world, and all kinds of people will be caught in the net. But some will respond to the gospel. Many won't respond to the gospel and remain unchanged. The dragnet was cast into a wide area. And that shows the heart of God. It is the heart of God's desire all men to be saved and none should perish. But on the negative side, even the word of God was preached, but some who receive it will refuse to respond to it. And they will remain in the unbelieving and rebelling state by the time the dragnet is pulled into the shore. Just like the parable of the wheat and the tares, God will allow both the good and the evil to coexist until the last days. When it was full, they drew to shore. When the net is full, the fishermen will then draw the net into the shore. And the parable tells us that at the end of the age, this is what will happen. Now, towards the close of the day, the fishermen, usually in the early morning, they will bring the nets in. And usually they have quite a few people holding on to different parts of the nets and they all pull it in. Because they need quite a bit of a force. Because it will catch fish of every kind. Now, while the net was still in the water, it says, while there is still time to hear the gospel, and you must take the opportunity to be caught by the net. But if people ask you, why hasn't that happened yet? Why hasn't the end of the world come yet? All you can tell them, that is because the net is not yet full. And they will say, huh? What do you mean by that? Then you can use the parable of this dragnet to explain to them, the net is not full, meaning that the end is not yet come. Why is it not yet full? There was actually a very interesting verse in Romans talking about the fullness of the Gentiles. He's saying that the people of Israel, their hearts will be hardened until the fullness of the Gentile. Many of the Bible scholars look at that word, the fullness of Gentile, saying that it means the last Gentile person who should be saved is saved. When the last person, Gentile person, is saved through the preaching of the gospel, then the Jews' hardened of heart will disappear, and they will respond in vast numbers to the preaching of the gospel, and they became saved. And then the end will come. So when do we know that will happen? No one knows, except the Father. You may also say that when the net is pulled to shore, then all the fishes in the net, whether they are good or bad, valuable or useless, won't they all die? Yes. All the fishery that has been pulled to shore, they will eventually die. And that's what the Bible is telling us too. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, that it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. We will all die, but we will all be resurrected to face judgment. Some of us who continue to be in defiance of God, not wanting to surrender themselves to God, they will be found wanting at the judgment. And then they will experience eternal death. The Bible calls it the second death. So, this is a warning basically to all of us that we need to look at our position. Are we truly a safe child of God? If not, then our position is in a very dangerous state. You may say, rubbish, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe there is a life after death. I'm pleading with you. If you think that you can place a bet on there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no life after death, then that bet is in a very, very bad place. Because I can tell you, from my experience, and from the experience of countless Christians over the years, they can tell you that the Bible is true. God is true. Jesus is true. Everything that we heard, what the Bible said to us, is true. So true that some of the people that we saw in the Bible, their life was changed dramatically. Someone like Paul, once a persecutor of Christians, became a persecuted person because he also became a Christian. His world was turned upside down. He was caught in the net. And he responds to the word of God. He met the Lord Jesus personally on the road to Damascus. And he is willing to die for the Lord. Not just Paul. There's so many Christians throughout centuries who suffer persecution and they willingly lay down their life for the Lord Jesus because they knew what they have is precious, what they have is real. They are willing to lay down their life for it. So once the net was pulled to shore, the fishermen will sit down and gather the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. Now the fishermen in the Sea of Galilee, they'll know where to catch the good fish, where to catch what sort of fish. They know the values of the fishes that they caught. But when they use the drag net, when they drag everything into the shore, it will catch all types of fish, valuable or no. So they have to sit down by the shore and start sorting out what they caught. So whatever is good and valuable, they will put them into the vessel. Whatever is bad, they will just chuck away. Now this sorting, according to the parable, is a type of judgment. It's sorting for judgment. The picture that the Lord Jesus will return with his angels to do this judgment is consistent with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. So this picture at the end of the age is like the fishermen sorting out what they caught. Just like the angels separate the wicked from among the just. Those who are found wicked or those who are bad, they will be cast into the furnace of fire. And Jesus said there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In a sense, the ending of this parable is the same as the parable of the wheat and the tares that we have done before. That the bad seeds sow among the wheat, because they look so much like the wheat, the Lord Jesus said, no, let them be. Don't pull them out now. So the wheat and the tares will grow together. By the time the harvest came, then they can be separated. Because the wheat, with all its weight of the good seeds, will bow. But the tares will be upstanding, because they have nothing. They are just weeds. And they can be easily pulled apart, separated, and the wheat will be put into the barn, and the tares will be bundled up and thrown into the fire and burned. Similarly, with the ending of this parable, the dragnet, the bad will be gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. Both parables talk about it will be at the end of the age that this will happen. So in a sense that those who practice lawlessness, those who are found wicked, they will be thrown into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wailing and gnashing of teeth telling us that that is not once and for all. When you're thrown into the lake of fire, you just die immediately. No, it doesn't. You will continue to be conscious. The soul that sin will die, but yet the soul that sin will be conscious of their separation from God. So my friends, if you have yet to secure your salvation in the Lord, you have yet to understand that your place in the kingdom of God is secure, then I pleaded with you to repent and to come to God and to embrace His gospel and to believe that Jesus did die for your sins. Otherwise, you will be conscious of that separation with God forever and ever in the furnace of fire. Now it's important for us to understand what wicked and lawlessness and how they compare with just and righteous. For both parables, the separation talk about the differentiation between the wickedness and righteousness. Those who practice lawlessness and those who are righteous. For us, sometimes we look at people, we make certain judgments immediately based on the outward doings or outward appearance. Somebody say, oh, that is a good guy, and because he did this and he did that. But a lot of times, you know that our judgment could be quite wrong. That's why the sorting is done by the angels and the Lord, not us. Because when we look at the outward appearance of a person and the things that he did, it may not necessarily mean that he is a good person. The Pharisees behave very well, and they often show people that they are fasting, or they show people that they love God by praying in the street corners. But what they wanted was the praise of men. And the Lord Jesus can see through that and know that they are only after the praise of men. But their heart is wicked. We need the sorting and separation from the angels, because what we can do ourselves, we can't even differentiate sometimes our own heart. We really need to see the heart of God in judgment. We need to see that in God's heart, He actually wanted all men to be safe and none should be perished. It is hard that He has a long suffering towards us, not willing anyone should perish, but all should come to salvation. But we saw from the time of the Garden of Eden until now, not everyone want to obey God. Not everyone want to follow God. And God saw the wickedness was so great that even at one time He delivered a worldwide flood that killed everyone except one family, the family of Noah. He will not do that anymore. But there still remain a judgment at the end of all lives. You see, the heart of this wickedness that everyone has is in the heart. Mark chapter 7 verse 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things came from within and defile a man. Brothers and my friends, if we are honest with ourselves, we know that our heart is corrupt. When God looks at us, and look at all the humanity, He said, there is no one righteous. No one, not even one. And then He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My friends, anyone who was found in this state, remain in this state of unrepentant, a heart that is evil, a heart that is full of evil thoughts, then they will be found wanting at the end. But just now when we look at the parables, that when the drag net was drew to shore, some were found to be good. And this good fish will be stored into the vessels. Then you may ask, I thought you just told us that all men are evil. All hearts are evil. How could this be good? Where is their righteousness come from? The Bible tells us that the righteousness that was found in these people were not their own. They did not attain to that righteousness based on their own effort. But that righteousness came from God by faith. So these people who were found to be good or righteous, they are righteous because of their belief in the Lord Jesus. They believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He came. He lived a sinless life. And eventually He was crucified to the cross for all the sinful people like you and I. And when you and I look at what He did for us and you say, Lord, I believe. I believe You did that for me. I believe that You shed Your blood for me. And lo and behold, these people, not by any effort of their own, they were accounted as righteous by God. Because they accept from the hand of God the blood of the Lord Jesus to wash their sins away. And just by that fact of faith in God, in Jesus, then all their sins are washed away. And when they were caught by the net at the end of the age, they were found to be righteous, just, good, but not by their own effort, by faith in God, by faith in Jesus. While the net is still in the water, which is now, it is your opportunity to come and to also respond like these good people. They are good not because they are good by nature. They are good because God counted them as good. God reckoned that they are righteous because they have accepted the Lord Jesus to be their Savior. The parable of the dragnet is concerning the separation of the wickedness and the righteous people at the last days, and it certainly refers to the last judgment. The judgment mentioned in the parables of dragnet and parables of the stare of the tares refer to the final judgment that was recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to verse 15. I think it's better if we can read through it and let these words sink in. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So both the parables tell us how to have our name recorded in the book of life. As I mentioned just now, not by the righteousness of our own, but by righteousness by faith in God. Just a simple act of saying to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Wash me clean with your blood." Just by that simple act of confessions. Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. Just by that simple fact. And of course, once you do that, you'll find that your life will change if you are truly converted. It's quite sad that over the centuries, there are so many people who say they respond to the gospel, but many of them did not truly understand what salvation is. They got excited in the big rally where people call people for salvation, they raise their hands, but they do not understand that the price that Jesus paid was so great. So when they raise their hand to want to be saved, they are not prepared for what is to come. Because the Lord Jesus said, "Those who follow me must give up their life. They must deny themselves. They must take up the cross and follow him." There is a price to be paid. Jesus paid a high price for us, and there is a high price to follow him. But if we are ready, if we are ready to say to the Lord, "Lord, I believe, and Lord, I want to follow you." If you are willing to follow the Lord, despite all the troubles that may happen to you, to your life, then your name will be firmly written in the book of life. Do you know sometimes when we come to passages like this and other warning passages in the Bible, we often imagine a God that was banging on the table say, "You better behave," or "You better believe," or "You better clean up your acts or else I will do this and that to you." No. Just put that picture out of your mind. In fact, we should replace it with the picture of a merciful and loving God who desire all men to be saved. and he saw the tragedies of life ending, defiance to him, a life ending in the last judgment, in the lake of fires. He saw all those tragedies and he is pleading with us, repent. So all these passages about judgment and other warning passages in the Bible, we need to take them as a warnings from a loving God, a merciful God, a righteous God. After explaining all these parables to the disciples, the Lord Jesus then asked them, "So, have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who bring out his treasure, things new and old." This could basically be called the eighth parable. It's very brief, I know. It is the last one in Matthew 13. Once the disciples understood what the Lord Jesus was telling them, Jesus then said to them, "Now you go. Now you go and cast the nets. Now you go and preach the gospel. Now you go and sow the seeds. You will use all the treasures, new and old, the treasures from the Old Testament stories, the treasures of the things that I have taught you, new things that I have taught you. And you share this with the people around you. Go and share this with them." See, whatever God had instructed us in the scriptures, they are treasures. Treasures not to be kept for our own enjoyment, but treasures to be shared. And that's why we preach the word of God every week. The Lord Jesus has died for us, and he was resurrected, and he has ascended. But before he did that, he commanded all his disciples. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." My friends, brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus cast the net into the sea, we were caught in it. We responded. For all of us who have believed, we have responded to him. And we were caught and we were counted as good because not of ourselves, but because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that we believe and that we take for our own. But there will be some who were caught and they remain in their unconverted stage. But it's still in our hands to go and cast the nets and preach the gospel and to challenge those who are unrepentant so that they may also repent and have a righteousness that is not of their own and that they will be counted as good. Otherwise, at the end of the age, they will be found wanting and they will be cast into the furnace of fire. They will be conscious forever and ever of their separation from God. So brothers and sisters, are you going to join in the casting of the nets? Are you going to join in dragging the nets to shores? Hopefully you will. And share this word that the Lord Jesus wants us to share and go and help others to also become his disciples. And this is what he wanted us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we commit these simple words to your hands and we pray that, Lord, you will continue to use this word to speak to us.
help us know that the time of your return is imminent, that we should awake to the tragedies of an unrepentant heart. So help us, Lord, to have the righteousness from you that is not our own, by believing in you, and help our friends here, if they have yet to commit their life to you, Lord, may you speak to them personally and help them to come to you. Lord, we know that time is short. Help us, Lord, to make this decision and to have our name secure in the Book of Life. Lord, we commit all our friends and all our brothers and sisters here to your hands. In your precious name. Amen.